shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we exalt your name, knowing that you came down at this end time where you are in that form of a pillar of fire somewhere. We don't make any claims upon it as to be here in this church, but we do make claims that that one came to us and brought us a word of life in its proper revelation after 2,000 years of abuse, and we have it now, the perfectly revealed word for this hour through your prophet, Brother William Branham, which we believe is Elijah for this day. Actually, only the mouthpiece, the manifester of you, Lord, who are the true Elijah, Spirit of God Himself, bringing us this truth. Also knowing you are Joshua, to take us into the millennium. So, Lord, therefore, we'd be careful to understand truth, even as Brother Branham specifically brought to us. We have to understand names, appellations, and how they fit, and whereunto they are at certain hours and times. And he illustrated that by Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, and showed us how they take their respective places. So we know, Lord, even tonight, we have the obligation to know by the word delivered to us and by the Holy Spirit teaching us, because we do need you, Lord, as never before, to give us the actual wonderful truth brought forth in this hour, to know to whom we speak and wherever we speak. We just ask you to help us in our studies and all, Lord, that we may come closer to you and show forth your praises. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to go a little bit like last Sunday, a little disjointed before we get back on to leadership. But this is really for the sake of those who are getting tapes. It is quite possible, the way I'm feeling at this particular time, that this weekend just may finish my ministry off for the rest of this year. Or whatever. It's getting increasingly difficult to even have any strength to do anything whatsoever. And it doesn't seem that sleep does any good. Doesn't seem that food does any good. And the only thing that does any good is the help of the Lord. And how long that will be, that's something for God to to figure on. But I want you to know that my present situation is that it's very, very tiring. I don't know just how I can keep on going. So if I'm not here, you'll understand why I'm not here. It's not that I'm anxious to be someplace else or having a great time. It's simply because I'm not able to do what I used to do, and it's getting increasingly difficult to do even the little things that are necessary to be done. And if the Lord tarries, your time will come when you have the same problems, which is true. So, all right, we just want the people to get tapes to know there's that very severe possibility coming up. Now, last Sunday, we took a little portion of Scripture wherein Brother Branham had mentioned in spoken word his original seed, that Eve should have borne that seed, which was Christ, but she did not. Now, the reason we were able to trace that through the Scripture and deal with it was because of the principle of Alpha and Omega, which is one of the truly great principles of the Bible. But just in case you didn't get the full impact, in order to bring it down to a very simple explanation, you remember that Brother Branham said spoken word is original seed. And in there he said it didn't matter how long it took for that spoken word to come to pass, that spoken word would come to pass. Now, the thing is this, he also said, which was so true, and we repeated him on it, even in the series on things that are to be, I think, mentioning, Brother Branham said we go from the negative to the positive. In other words, we actually came down here and we started with a certain positive content, which was dependent upon the choice of the soul making toward that word. And, of course, we were sent down here with this flesh in order to be tested. We couldn't come with a word body or a spirit body. We had to come this way. So, all right, we know that from that point on, we find man falling off more and more due to the serpent seed influence, until we find there's a complete admixture. And at the time of Noah, there's only one true human being that's genetically left. And so that's the end of the human race when it comes to being truly human. And we're talking now concerning the body, because Brother Branham said we're animals, we're mammals. We're looking at that. Now, He also said this then. He said, as you come from the negative to the positive, we're going, seeing that shadow on the wall, being the positive. In the sense we're coming toward it. And light is taking this person here. Now he said, if you had the light shining on an elephant, and that made a shadow on an elephant. But he said, by the time the object upon which the light was shining turned out to be a spindly old man, there's something positively wrong. And here's where you get your understanding. Positively, where Eve should have borne that son, is because, which was Christ, is because every single thing said concerning dominion had to, and is coming, and will come forth through him. So, all right, you put your hand way back here, and whatever that light's going to shine upon it, and that light shined and said, which we saw back over here in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, and we were looking at 26 to 28, and said, and God said, let's make man an image after our likeness, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle over the earth, every creeping thing. So God created man in his own image, image of God created him, male and female created them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, the woman is the fruit bearer, but the man causes a multiplication. Because, and together then, they multiply. But it was said to her. Now, when you see this here, that what was supposed to come to pass from that literal command promise of God, it never came to pass. In the sense that you way back here in Genesis. Now, you're going through 6,000 years. And the time you hit the 4,000 years, without knowing anything about Jesus, which Israel really didn't search the scripture to know that a prophet God was going to raise up. And you keep coming on down into the New Testament, where you see the actual fulfillment of this is where we come to Revelation chapter 19, which is Elohim reincarnated and the bride coming back to take over and setting up a proper worship and then going through the millennium to the white throne and then on, where you see what was that light reflecting, that light shining upon that word which cannot return void. Absolutely, that promise was only fulfilled in Jesus. And remember, the Bible says a seed, he was cut off. He had no successive generations. And yet it says he shall see his seed. And in there it tells you that a seed shall be granted to him for a generation. So therefore, every single thing you look at, you're looking at from the principle Alpha and Omega. What did God really say over here in Genesis? Now, I don't care what you think he said. See, this is the point I'm driving at. I don't care two bits or anything what you think he said. Your thinking is all screwed up and you're cockeyed. Because I know you're thinking. You got the old theology of the church ages, of the Baptist, Methodist, and all their infantile droolings and vomit. And they never would have caught that in a billion years. See, don't try to figure anything out. Wait for revelation. And when the revelation comes from the vindicated authority, which is Brother Branham, then you watch. You will take it back to the Word. Because William Branham never brought one word on his own. He admitted and told us, just think how wonderful, the same pillar of fire that brought the Word to Paul is here revealing it. Now that tells you volumes. That tells you volumes right there. So, all right, remember what we learned last Sunday, and the major thing is your principle of Alpha and Omega, and God's Word cannot return unto him void, and no matter what you think does not count. That's what's wrong with the Branhamites right today. That's what's wrong with Europe. The big shot over there, there's now Dr. Pruhovsky or whatever he is, PhD and God knows what, means more full of baloney than used to be. He went all through and tried to prove Brother Branham wrong by going to the book of Zechariah. What right has he got to go to the book of Zechariah or any book to attempt to prove that he knows something a vindicated prophet doesn't know? Why, the man's a farce and a phony. Check him out. He's concubine. He's last from here to the West Coast. I'm not slandering, I'm telling you the truth. Why do you think his wife left him? See, now you got guys like that, that get big crowds around him, phonyism, and it's always off the word. Antichrist. And one word off this message is Satan's kingdom and death. There's only one message that has life in it. And you and I don't try to figure anything. We believe it. And as we believe it, you watch it unfold. Remember, the light of God, he's the great projectionist. He's got a projector. It's the light of the Holy Ghost shed upon this word. And remember, you get a projectionist, he's up there focusing the light on the canvas. Remember, written epistles read and known of all men. And that light is turned by the hand of God. And if you ever saw a theater where the screen was running around trying to get to the light, well, did you? Certainly not. And certainly you wouldn't find people running around trying to get to the light. It can't be done. The light, the shepherd comes to the sheep. You bet. In fact, when you want to get to God as the shepherd, that's only a term. That's only a term. It describes him as to his nature and care. How he loves us who are sheep, who are just about the dumbest things in all the world. But a sheep can absorb a lot of love and attention. And that's what's good. So, all right, we see then at this end time here that we don't want anyone getting off the word. We want everyone to just understand the principles. And so I took a little time tonight to get you to that principle again, to let you know, the trying to encapsulate it for you, to bring it right in a nutshell, so that you know that every time we move, we always move from Genesis to Revelation, and we don't care what's in between, in the sense that that's going to be any guide to us. Those are only illustrations. Get back here in the seed chapters. Get back here in the harvest. And I'm going to tell you, you do not see the shadow of an elephant turn into spindly little old man. What you see is the Word of God come forth from Genesis. And the people couldn't take it. No, they couldn't do it. That's what's wrong. I'm a champion of Brother Branham. You better believe it. You better believe it. I got no time for anybody else. I'm not interested. I don't care what they got to say, what they think, unless they're going to talk to me about Brother Branham, what he says in the messages, and then we go to the Word. But anybody tries to get up a lot of doctrine and things outside the Word, we certainly don't want that. Now, as I say, we're going to be kind of disjointed tonight, so just work along with me. I got received a letter from a man over in Europe, and he's been hearing tapes, and my name's come up many times, which, under certain conditions, I wish it hadn't, because there are things that have been said that have caused a lot of problems, as though they came from me and nothing has come from me that would cause any problems concerning what I have in mind here. And he said, what has prompted me to write to you at this time is the fact that has arisen the question of your position in Scripture in relation to Revelation 19 and 10. I'd be grateful if you would clarify this. It would help us greatly. As I said, I have received your take for some years now, and I've always placed you in Ephesians 4 as a teacher, part of the fivefold ministry. At the same time, I will say I've not heard any other ministry to compare. I believe Brother Branham said there was a flame of fire over you. Now, does this therefore place you in Revelation 19:10 above the fivefold and unique ministry, or are you a part of the fivefold and which is in the plural? Some seem to say that you are Revelation 19:10 and Brother Branham Revelation 22:10. Of course, Revelation 22:10 is sealed not the sayings, the prophecy's book for the time is at hand. Brother Branham opened the seals, but I would not have gone to that myself. I would always take Revelation 10 and 7, though 22 and 10 actually explain the depth of Revelation 10 and 7, which I don't remember Brother Branham ever using Revelation 22 and 10 concerning himself, but it was always Revelation 10 and 7 where he placed himself as a seventh church age messenger and as a prophet. All right. And again, in Revelation 19:10, it speaks of the brethren having the testimony of Jesus Christ. Therefore, isn't it true to say every member of the bride can and will have the revelation? Does every member feature here, or do you claim to have this alone? And could a person come to this knowledge of the presence apart from your ministry? Now, it seems that some feel they must present you and place you in a scripture and say if one fails to acknowledge your position, they have not got it and will miss the rapture. If you could see fit to lay these things out and show to us and show how you see it. I know you have touched on some of these things in the past, but if at this time you could write to us or preach a message and so on. Now, the thing is, the man admits correctly, I have never ever put myself above anybody or different from anybody. Now, if you want to go to Revelation chapter 19 and see what the Bible says there, mention 10, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Well, actually, the fact of the matter is, that last portion has nothing to do with the rest of it. It can completely be isolated. It's not as though you're taking any one person here. What you're doing is explaining the actual fact of the matter that was there. And, of course, we know that Brother Branham did say it was a prophet that brought the revelation to John. Now, if you want to go back to the first chapter of the book of Revelation, you can begin to see in there in that 12th verse, he turned to see the golden candlesticks, and then he gets on down here in the midst of the, verse 13, the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. The actual rendition of that verse is not one like unto the Son of Man, but one like unto a Son of Man. And so what you're looking at here as a Son of Man, or you can leave it the Son of Man, Brother Branham, it doesn't bother you one little bit. You're looking at the fact of a prophet. The same as Jesus said, all the judgment is committed unto me because I am the Son of Man, not the Son of God. But in John 5 and over another chapter, but especially John 5, you can see in there concerning judgment, and you can see here that this one here is the judge. And the judge is taking the position, as I've understood this all along, since I've looked into it, that this has to be a prophet. Now, we've had a judge in seven church ages, but at the end time, you notice that Brother Branham does not talk about the judge in the first age. He does not talk about in the second age, the third age, the fourth age, the fifth age, and sixth, but he talks about it in the seventh age. Now, when those are to be beheaded who have not taken the seat of the Antichrist, remember over in Revelation 20, he said that's going through all the church ages, and it has. Now, why would it be then that they didn't take it? For the simple reason that they had God's own word protected by God himself in order that these people retain the light or whatever light was available to them all through those ages. Now, remember, they took about every single thing from them, but they couldn't harm the oil and the wine. They had to leave that. Stimulation and revelation. They had to leave that life in there. There was that. They took the bride tree, cut it off to the roots, until you could see no manifestation of the fourth church age under the dark ages of Catholicism, where they really went wild. If you go back to the first and second ages, you'll find that Catholicism was not wild. It was nowhere near as wild as, but under the last age, the darkness, it took off. And as it took off, then going to the fifth age, came on. They decided to just kill everybody out of hand. They became murderers and seeking people's blood. But anyway, what we're looking at here and I'm looking at is the same one over here in Revelation 19. Now, I'm not speaking infallibly because Brother Branham did not bring this out. But I'm looking at the fact that Jesus said, don't worship me, worship God. He said, God alone receives worship. Now, there again, it is not impossible to worship God, Jesus, as that Lamb of God, in the sense of our love and devotion to him, which is adoration. But at the same time, remember, there is no time when Jesus takes the place of the Father. There is no time whatsoever. And all worship is directed toward God. Now look, if Jesus was Michael, and I don't have the full understanding of that. I just believe that Michael was at that time, the visible manifestation of Jesus. And when Jesus withdrew, he just simply moved on. I'm not going to say that that's exactly how it is, but the point is, Brother Branham did say at one time Jesus was Michael. And he said he actually led in the worship of God, and Satan was there alongside of him. Now, my question would be this. If it's Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and what he had way back there, and let's face it, he cannot change. If that was the will of Almighty God, and he's recognized as a high priest, then would he deflect worship to himself, or would he put all the worship upon God? I think that can answer your question pretty thoroughly. That there would not be one here if this being Jesus himself, the great prophet, or manifested in his prophetic office. And if it were just an ordinary prophet, which I have no reason to believe. I cannot say that. Brother Branham just said a prophet. I don't know any quote, any place that he amplified it. It would be only valid. That person would only be valid as the worship was reflected toward God. Remember Brother Branham talking about Pentecostal bait when St. Martin was accosted by a vision, an actual being in this, perhaps not just a vision, but an actual being. And here he looked at this one, and he had all the essentiality. I think there was the scars in the hand, and the forehead, and in the side, and he stood there, and he said, "Martin, do you recognize me?" And Martin looked at him, and he couldn't quite figure for a while. And he said, "Don't you recognize me? Worship me." And Martin said, "Get thee hence, Satan." You see, because it is written, the saints shall crown him. See? Now, if that had been truly Jesus, he never would have asked for worship. There is no way that he could. Even though he's worthy, and he gets it only according to the position that is allocated to him by God and no other way. Now, remember, every single time you open your Bibles, you're going to find that nobody can take liberty with God. God is not a dotty old grandfather, as Brother Branham so correctly said. Now, the scripture always said, "Blessed be the God," or "Blessed be God who is the Father." Notice the preeminence is not put upon Father. Now, we have a religion today that wants everybody to talk about Father, 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 the fatherhood of God. We're all brothers. We all love each other. It doesn't matter what we believe. Never mind the scripture. Just love, love, love. Let's get this flat and understand it. This Bible is not the word of Father. Find me where it says the word of Father. You can't do it. It's the word of God. So therefore, let nobody ever believe that that person, you or I, can take liberty with God just because we got his gene. Now, the Bible said that Jesus Christ even learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And in every single way, he differed from us, at least in this great respect. Although Brother Branham came very close, he always wanted the will of God and always did it. Now, Brother Branham did make a statement, "I always do what I want to do. I always want to please him." Well, that was a lovely statement. I don't know if he would actually try to back it up with every minute of his life. But I understand where it's coming from in his heart. So therefore, would anybody ever want to take any worship from the Son on down? You cannot find an answer that would say for 1 minute you can worship anyone but God. In fact, that's a commandment of Almighty God. That's what we're looking at. So as we see this here, I'm looking at the picture then of the fact that this one is a prophet. He puts the worship all back on Almighty God. Worship God. That's what Jesus always said. That's what you got to come to. Nebuchadnezzar came to it finally. And he said, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now, right in there, we have, as I see, a statement you could leave all by itself, or you could connect it in here. And you are going to, now then, this being the case, he said, "I am your fellow servants and of thy brethren." And that's, as Brother Branham mentioned, the prophet. Could have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. I'm just one of them that have the true testimony and the true understanding of Jesus, which can only come by the Spirit of God Himself. Now, Brother Branham went into Revelation 19 and 10, and quoted the end part, which is that last phrase, the sum up. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, testifying to. It will always be in there. You cannot get by the fact that always the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine, every prophet, every born-again believer, will have a testimony to Jesus Christ, which will absolutely have to be according to what the prophet taught, which is vindicated according to the Bible. Now, how many of you can find in your Bible that he's comatose? How many can find he's gone back to the dust? Can you find one place where he's lying prone upon the mercy seat? Now, we're just looking at this little bit of scripture here. We're not looking at the whole sum and substance, everything Brother Branham said. But the question then comes out about this testimony to Jesus Christ. Now, the point is, who is Jesus Christ? He is certainly not God the Son. He is the Son of God. When the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is telling you the one who came in His Father's name was a Jehovah Savior, who became the Messiah by the fact of being the body that God identified with and indwelt, and the blood was shed. You're talking about that one that was virgin born. You're talking about that one that God accepted and raised from the dead. And every subsequent step from that time on stemmed from the fact of what Jesus Himself, as the Son of God, not God the Son, but as the Son of God, was able to accomplish for us through His life, His death, and His resurrection as absolutely controlled by Almighty God. Because Jesus Himself admitted He didn't have any thoughts, and He didn't have any will, and He didn't have any power. It was brought to the straight fact that here was one that was completely under the dominion of God. And the only one, therefore, completely under the dominion of God, could have everything else, which we saw in Revelation, based on Genesis 1, 26 to 28, the only one that could be in complete control. And that complete control has started and is going on now, as the Father puts everything under His feet. So we just want to get this absolutely clear, the best we can now, about this fact of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If you have a spirit of prophecy at all, whatever that is, if you have it, you are going to be able to, you will have to positively testify to Jesus Christ. There's no way that you can get by. You will have to know positively Jesus as being that Father. You will have to absolutely positively know that Jesus had came in His Father's name. And you'll have to positively know that that one that was born had a pre-existence. You'll have to know that He was circumcised the eighth day. You'll have to know positively He was to be the repository of Almighty God Himself, which God did indwell Him at the River Jordan. And left Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's right. You have to know these things. And you put them with the scripture here that there is the definitive revelation. Now you go to the oneness people, they don't have it. You go to the Trinity, they don't have it. Then let's put this down as one of the initial evidences of the Holy Ghost. It's the only evidence. You can't testify on the basis of vindicated word, amen to every word, and it's been vindicated in this hour, my brother, my sister. There is no way that you can claim you have the spirit of prophecy, because you have to come to God to give clarity and witness and understanding and testimony to Jesus. It's just too much like years ago, I think it might have been a woman preacher, almost sure it was, she asked the little girl, "Who's Jesus?" The little girl said, very shyly and sweetly, "He's a little baby in a manger." And she said, "Isn't it terrible that that's just about all the revelation people have about Jesus? And I wonder how terrible her revelation was that she had a God the Son and was preaching. So we're getting more and more to the definitive. Now, if he asked the question about Brother Branham saying this to me, what did it really mean? I could never ever tell anybody. I really don't know. All I know is, if that's authentic, I have to have whatever is called the testimony to Jesus. That doesn't make me anybody or anything. Now let's go back. When Brother Branham met me at his door, I'd already met Dr. Wallace Cobble, of whom Dr. Paris Reed had spoke, and said, my friend, Wallace Cobble, is my best friend, and he's Brother Branham's best friend. You simply say, Paris Reed had sent you, he will take you to Brother Branham. Well, I just didn't have any more brains than to believe it. So, I'm a little late getting there, but Brother Cobble leaves Joseph Carroll, one of the greatest evangelists in the world at that time from Australia, what he takes me over there. How come? No preacher in his right mind as a host would do that. God made him do it. Now, Brother Branham is standing outside when he should be in service, because Brother Branham never, ever entered a service late unless he was held up by somebody or God held him up. Because that's one of the things he congratulated me on. He said, Brother Bailey, he said, you were the only business manager who ever got me to the platform on time. Because I insisted. I didn't care why you like to play your guitar and strum your voice and think you had great vocal cords. Nuts to you, honey. There's a prophet standing there. And your talent means nothing. Now, I know I'm hard. You just forgive me. If you don't forgive me, who gives a rip? I'm going to say it anyway. I don't need to apologize. So he's standing there. Soon as we wheel up in Brother Cobble's car, Brother Cobble jumps out of the car, jumps out of the car to June, Brother. And Brother Branham comes, oh, good morning, Dr. Cobble. I'm sure glad to see you. And he said, Brother Branham, he said, I've got a friend here, Reverend Lee Vail. He's a friend of Dr. Paris Reedhead. And I'd like, if possible, for you to have an interview with him because he would like an interview. Why, he said, by all means, Brother Vail, I'll be glad to have an interview. He said, now look at it. He said, I'm squirrel hunting right now, and I'm going up early tomorrow morning, but I'll be home after squirrel hunting. It was in August. All dressed up fresh. And he said, you come to my house, 12 o'clock sharp, I'll be there. So, all right, I'm there 12 o'clock sharp. Brother Branham opens the door, and I walk to the door so we can shake hands. And he said, come in, Brother Bale. I saw you coming. There's a flame of fire over your head. It's called the spirit of prophecy. Now, look, this Bible opened before me knowing there's a God in heaven. I'm not lying. But I'll meet you there. If you think I am. I was completely nonplussed. Why did he say it? He didn't see me coming. He knew I was coming. Because he told me to come. I thoroughly misread him. He saw me coming from Florida. All the way to Dr. Cobble's church, 2nd Street South in Louisville, Kentucky. And he saw Brother Cobble bringing me over. And I never tumbled to it. And you know, I'm not a person to ask a lot of questions. I'm a person who sits back many times, and I've got a patience that you know nothing of, unless you've got the same kind of funny patience I've got. You're not bunging your nose into every door trying to ask a question. You can just wait for the answers to come. I never asked him. We had a good time talking. Finally, was going to go, and he said, now, Brother Bailey, said, I'm going to come and hold you a meeting. And you know the story, I didn't believe him, because I know all great men like that are not liars, they're just wonderful people. And they give you the shirt off their back, they'd come and do anything they could for you, but, hey, with everybody wanting William Branham, I knew I couldn't get him. But I was holding up 2,500 invitations, waiting for him to get mine. Well, he said, what's that God, the pillar, the little flame of fire? He might have an awful lot to do with it. because down in Florida, he told me, he said, what are you doing down here, Doc? He said, you know it's no good down here. He said, you should come and be setting up meetings with me. Now, the day that I met Brother Branham the first time, and I left, he went into Meany, and Meany said he was very happy, smiling, and he said, you know who that was? She said, no. He said, that's Dr. Lee Vail, and that's where I got my doc from, my degree. Dr. Lee Vail, and he's going to mean something very special to me in my future ministry. Now, if anybody wants to stand here beside me and say, I wasn't special to Brother Branham, who wrote the books? I'd like to know. Who set him forth the way I've set him forth? I want some answers, because anybody can talk. But I can tell you one thing, I'm not a liar. Now, the point is, does this make me above a fivefold ministry? Certainly not. The trickle-down is God in the prophet to the fivefold ministry to the people through those ministers. And that's all there is to it. Now, when you deal with the spirit of prophecy, which is a testimony to Jesus Christ, and I would have a lot more than this, but I didn't want to read a lot more, and I'm not going to read a lot more. You're going to find that Brother Branham deals with this in a way that leaves you absolutely in a state of conjecture. And I'm sorry, but it's the truth. For instance, starting out here, the first thing I would say, according to the rules of the church in the Old Testament, or New Testament rather, in the first place, people entered the church of God in the spirit of worship. They walked in, hymns were sung, maybe the preacher would speak. He was a prophet of the church. A New Testament prophet is a preacher. We know that. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, this man is a preacher, and he's full of the Holy Ghost. Where is his testimony going to go? And his witness can only go one direction. Because he is there to school the people in the Word of God, to teach them the life to be lived, the mysteries, and the encouragement of living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, and he's leading in worship. Because remember, you cannot worship and serve God outside of a prophet. So these people now are in what is known as the trickle-down, in my what I call it, in a phrase which has been used in the 20th century in economics. So God uses the prophet, and then the Holy Spirit turns right around and puts in a fivefold ministry according to the book of Ephesians, which is the fourth chapter, and we looked at it many, many times, and it says there, one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father, and one God and Father, not Father and God, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now remember, at the same time you read this, the head of the woman is the man, the head of the man is Christ, the head of Christ is God. Right? So just don't take scripture and leave other parts out. Now, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now it tells you right there, you're given grace to handle the measure or the strength or the greatness of whatever gift is given to you. Now watch where those gifts go. And remember the one saying of this, the Apostle Paul. It said, if any man considers himself to be a prophet or spiritual, that's full of the Holy Ghost, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you, the commandments of God, period. And you can't judge a prophet. You're even on dangerous ground to ask questions. Let me tell you flat, I've watched people asking questions. The air gets dark all around them. And I watch how they go into error. You know, you're like the Battle of Balaclava, the 500. Ours not to reason why, ours is but to do and die. Into the jaws of death, into the gates of hell rode the 500. That's exactly scripture. Huh? Well, certainly is. You and I aren't brought into God to ask questions. Listen. So now he's telling you that there are certain offices, there are certain gifts of Christ that are in the church here. Now, not what he says, wherefore he said, we led captivity, when he sent it up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now, he liberated the people down below, took them someplace where they are, God knows, I don't know, and I don't care to know. They're there. Now, he instituted a whole new program as being the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, watch. He that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first to the lower part of the earth. Now, what went down to the lower part of the earth? The soul. The body was on top of the earth in a cave. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thou not leave my soul in hell, right? Right. My body shall not see corruption, right? Three parts, three different ways. You know, you can't fool with God's word. So, all right. The same spirit or soul. Like Brother Branham mentioned, Jesus was the soul of God. He told the soul, tore the soul out of Jesus, sent it back. In other words, let's face it, God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And Brother Branham said, don't you think for one minute that was simply human breath or breath, somebody breathing. He said, that was the Holy Ghost. So what do you think Jesus' soul was? The greatest measure of the Holy Ghost any son had, even receiving without measure. Moses had a great measure. God took off enough spirit on him to give to 70 more men, and he still had more than Moses than the 70 would ever have, or 7 million like him, I suppose. That's me adding to the words. I want to be careful there. Now, he that descended is the same also descended, that he might fill all things. Now watch in the filling what he's doing. Setting his church in order. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry. All dependent on a word prophet who brought the word of God. Now what are these people going to do? They are there to perfect, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up and bring in the souls to the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith, even of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, that's a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we no more be children tossed to and fro. Now, let you know right there that all during that time of ministry, there's going to be people tossed to and fro. But the ultimate that lies in that ministry, in spite of the fact of all the error and all the trouble you see, and you'll see a lot, there will be a people who will eventually come forth, mature, adopted, no longer tossed to and fro. It's live, die, sink, or swim. Well, just a minute, that doesn't sound very smart of you, live, die, sink, or swim. Exactly, it doesn't sound very smart, because I'm not smart. I got the smarts of God. It's live or die. In other words, these people tossed to and fro aren't with it. But there will come a time when they're not tossed to and fro. It's face to face. In 1 Corinthians. Carried about with every wind of doctrine, sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But holding the truth in love, that's the Holy Ghost, may grow up unto him, not into him, they're already in there, in all things, which is the haven Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, and so on. Didn't Christ come to the place of the irrevocable? Then his body, which is the bride, is going to come to the irrevocable also, or it's not worthy to be joined to him. All right. For anybody to have any ministry, apart now from the fivefold, is to go to gifts. which are complementary to the pastor or the rest of the fivefold ministers. Now, Brother Branham, time after time, used the word prophet as simply a preacher. And with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of prophecy on him, which you'd have to have, you know that he would preach Christ. He'd literally preach the truth. And that truth would have an amazing effect upon the people. Why, Brother Branham chose to use that term, so all-inclusive, which could then take in the advances, the pastor, the teacher, and yet he did not. Is more than I know. I have to leave it with him, and I don't think I'm going to bother taking a real definitive study. Now, so we understand that I am not any more than a fivefold minister, and I am a teacher. However, you must understand this one thing. And here again, the Bible open, and my hand raised toward heaven, knowing there's a God there. Now remember, I never asked Brother Branham to say, there's a flame of fire over your head. I never asked him to tell me anything. Only one time, I asked him if he could sort of give me a little understanding of my understanding of the word, whether I was coming along or not. And he did. It's the only time I asked him. Now, my hand raised knowing there's a God in heaven, the Bible informed, which is the same as swearing by his name and his word. But Brother Branham did it, and this is one way you do it. I can tell you, Brother Branham one day sat and he said, you know, Lee, you and I are just alike. I said, what do you mean, Brother Branham? Normally, I would have said, sure, you got two eyes, I got two eyes, you got two ears, I got two ears, what else is new? Because you know me. You say something, and I'll pick it up and give it right back. You're almost crazy, facetiously, because that's my nature. It's a facade, but I have my own facade, you got yours. You deal with yours, I deal with mine. I didn't. I respectfully said, Brother Branham, what do you mean? He said, well, Brother Vail, I've got a little gift of healing and nobody wants it. You've got a little gift of teaching and nobody wants it. Then do I have a gift of teaching or not? Amen. What did he say about a teacher? Now you can take it from there. You say, well, that makes you above the fivefold. It doesn't make me above the fivefold. What is Brother Branham doing? He's identifying me. Now, what right has he got to identify me? And let me tell you this, he identified others. He identified others. I can tell you right now, there's a preacher out west. When Brother Branham said to his mother, this boy is ordained to be a preacher, he didn't say, well, we're going to pray that, you know, it could be a preacher down the road, like some, he said to some people, they ran running to preach. This boy had trouble out west because he knew he was called to God to do a certain work, and there's another guy there being shoved by people who couldn't preach or do anything else. He said, what'll I do, Brother Vail? I said, you listen to me, son, you'll be all right. I tell you what you do. You go and see that brother and his father-in-law, the whole bunch. You say, gentlemen, here's the thing. I cannot any longer deny my calling. But I want you to know one thing. There'll be not one person come from your church to mine at my invitation. I don't want anybody. I'm just going to start. And see what God will do. Today he's got a great big work. The other guy faded out years ago. Because he did what was right. Now let's just check this thing out. I'm going to take you to Acts the 3rd chapter. And in here, the 19th verse, at the time of refreshing, which is a great healing revival at the end time. Brother Branham said that. He shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you. But watch, he can't come yet. The heavens must retain him. So he's got to be up there. Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. That's a restoration of the word. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your brethren. Like unto me, him you'll hear in all things whatsoever he sent you. And it'll come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Now let me ask you a question. Were they utterly destroyed among the people when Jesus came? The answer is no. The utter destruction comes under Malachi. The fourth chapter, even neither root nor branch. Now watch where it goes. Now, And him you'll hear in all things whatsoever said to you, and it'll come to pass, those don't hear be destroyed. Now watch. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, have likewise spoken. Now remember, Brother Branham categorically placed himself not with Jesus. He placed the ministry as the same ministry Elohim had when he was in Jesus, the human body, and now doing the greater works. Right? Certainly that's right. That's from John 14. He identified himself not with Jesus, but with three men, Moses and Paul, to whom the pillar of fire came, and God came according to Numbers 12, which I, the Lord God, if there be a prophet, will speak to him in visions and signs and omens and so on. But my servant Moses is not that kind of a prophet. I will speak to him even apparently. I'll come and show myself visible. He was visible to Moses. He was visible to Paul. He was visible to William Branham. Brother Branham was not a word prophet. No. Samuel was not a word prophet. Moses was the word prophet. Paul was the word prophet. Brother Branham never claimed to bring the word. Nuh-uh. He said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. And he said, a prophet is a revealer of the word, not just a bringer. Now, notice the scripture here identifies instantly with Samuel. Now, can anybody quote me some of the things Brother Branham said that makes you to understand that he identified himself with Samuel 100%? Huh? Ever taken your money? Your oxen? Ever lied to you? Ever told you one thing that didn't come to pass? Always identified with Samuel. Now, who was Samuel? He was the identifier. He said, Saul, son of Kish, the tribe of Benjamin, you're ordained. I don't like you, but he said, God picked you, that's the way it goes. That was in his mind, I'm quite sure, anyway. That's Saul had his fault. Now it came time to anoint one of the tribe of Judah. Time to anoint David. One of the sons of Jesse, and God didn't tell him which one. So he goes down there with a great big pot of oil, and he gets so happy, and he sees Eliab, this great big giant, coming in. Oh boy, this guy laid the Philistines low. Just one swoop of one sword, and they're all gone to pot. They're finished. And God says, Samuel, haven't you learned yet? You don't look on the outside. You look on the inside. I don't want him. So he went all down the line. He got the little fellow called David. Brother Branham called him Ruddy. The word Ruddy means red-cheeked. I think he meant runty, maybe, or ruddy out there in the sun, beaten by the sun and the wind, as a shepherd. Anyway, Adam was ruddy. Yeah, positively. The Bible says that. That's what the Adam word means. Well, anyway, he had to anoint this person. Now, notice, as Samuel went around the villages, he identified all the time. So what am I trying to tell you? Brother Branham simply identified me. He identified other people. What he said to them is their business. There are some that I doubt very sincerely he said some of the things they say he said, because I can't hear the word coming from the mouth the way the prophet brought it. I can hear Trinity gone to Jesus only. I can't hear the scripture. So therefore, there's something a little out as far as I am concerned. So now then, Brother Branham, and I'm sorry to take the time on this, but I've got to settle this thing once and for all, because there's so much stuff said that isn't true. The next thing that came up was, well, all right. Are you anywhere in Revelation 19:10 and Brother Branham Revelation 22:10? Brother Branham is simply Revelation 22:10. He's Revelation 10 and 7. I am not mentioned at all, except I have a relationship with Brother Branham, something special to his ministry. He identified me, even as he did one day in 1962. I've been with him since night. We've been back and forth visiting, but never in meetings. I came back, was with him, and doing some work with him, and he said, "See, Lee, I knew you'd be back. That's because you're seed." Now, that's an identification. Now, if I run with this and tell people, think, oh, you're trying to make yourself somebody. Look, what if I try to make myself somebody here? Yeah, I can leave you tomorrow morning. You know, I won't see you tomorrow morning. Who gives a rip about you? Now, that's a bad spirit, maybe. Let me tell you flat, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody to follow me or ask anybody to listen to me. The reason I'm here is because some of you sitting here begged me to stay here. So I'm not trying to be anybody. Just get this flat, though. I have been identified by that man over in the pillar of fires. Bible open, there's a God in heaven. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not nice. All liars go to the lake of fire. And if I'm lying, go to the lake of fire. And I'll give anybody here the opportunity to be the first one to step on my head and push my head under the flames. Are you willing to do the same thing for me? I've got preachers out everywhere. They haven't turned a corner. They don't want me to turn a corner either. I've turned a corner. I'm either hell-bound or heaven-bound now, and nothing is going to change it. What's going to change it? There it is right there. There's your answer. Now, people don't understand that I am a teacher. I hammer this word relentlessly, as Brother Branham called it, pounding. Now, pastors don't do what I do, and people get mixed up because sometimes pastors don't do what I do. I've had people come to me after sitting under a man's ministry from 10 to 15 years and say, "Brother Vail, until I came to your church, or rather picked up your tape and heard it, I never even understood vindication. That's not my fault. But that doesn't make me anybody above any fivefold ministry. I got any leverage or anything else. You don't see me running to meetings and having meetings." More than once they said, "Brother Bale, why not call a preacher's meeting?" I said, "Do you think I'm crazy?" I said, "I keep my head in the sand all these years for fear of the buckshot. My rear end is so full of it now. Do you think I'm going to raise my head and get a shot off?" Kind of a little nasty way to say it, but I can say it like few people can say it. And I've said it. I told him, I said, "You think I can't walk on the water now. What do you think I'm going to do?" I'm not here to teach preachers. I'm not here to head up anything. You don't hear me calling myself a pastor except on technical terms for the corporation. I said, I'm doing the work of a pastor to a limited degree. But you can't accuse me of not teaching. That I do. Now, I hope we got time before we run out of time. I'm going to read to you. Brother Branham says, there's quite a difference between the gift of prophecy and a prophet. The gift of prophecy has to be judged by three good spiritual judges. He said, the gift of prophecy, notice it, before the church can receive it, according to Paul's writing in Corinthians, the judge has to judge this, has to judge the interpretation of tongues before the church receives it, because they wouldn't know. But now you take a person that would be a prophet like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, William Branham, Paul, Moses. No one stood before them to judge whether it was right or not. Can't judge a prophet. They were born into this world, prophets. The word of God was with them. God in sundry time, divers manner, spake to the fathers through the prophets. Actually, it's God in the prophets. And this last day through his son, in his son. And he's doing it right now. Because Son of God, Brother Branham said, is appellation of the Holy Ghost. So there you see once more. He is a prophet of the church of this last... No. And he is the prophet of the church of this last day, is Jesus Christ. And he is the prophet of the church... No. And the Bible said in over in the book of Revelation that the spirit or testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. He's just sticking very close with that. Someone I was telling, I never finished it, but a little fellow wrote me a criticism not in this meeting. Now another meeting said, Brother Reverend Branham, I've lost the confidence in you as a man of God till I heard you say under inspiration that you were a prophet. Well, I said, you don't say it. Didn't say it, but just at that time. And Brother Branham said, well, that wasn't me saying it then, it was him. So argue with him about it. He's the one. After all, my dear friend, you know what a prophet is. A New Testament prophet, now watch what he says, is a preacher. Exactly. Prophet is a preacher. Now here's where you're going to get all kinds of confusion. I don't even pretend to have the answer. They said you want to lay it across the board. Anybody preaching has got to have the same spirit that Christ had. Right. same spirit that the prophet has. Right. In the measure required, if you're fivefold minister, and you'll have grace to stay with it. You won't quit on the job. You'll stand there and die if you have to. I went through it. It wasn't bad at all. God didn't want me dead. What all other people might have. But he didn't want me dead. And for the people in the pew, it's the same thing you also will endure, but you've got grace to endure. And you've got the same spirit on you. To the extent Brother Branham said, if there ever comes a time when 10 people believe the same thing, which is concerning this message, there'll be a rapture. Whew, man, that's cutting us. 10? I didn't say that he did. Prophet's a preacher. The word prophet means to foretell or tell forth. Either preach or foretell. And now, if you can't believe the Bible, the dictionary for it, here's what the Bible says about it. The Bible said, the testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. Is that right? So every one of you are prophets to testify to Jesus Christ. I'm just telling what the prophet said. You become your own. You become a little individual prophet to people that don't know the word. You become a messenger, a legate to people that don't know the word. You become something to them in the economy of God. It's the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now, he calls some of us to preach. Some of us to teach. Some of us with different spirits of operation. That's the 9 gifts now, not the 5-fold. Now, there's 12, or 9 spirits of gifts in the local body, see? Now, there's a gift of prophecy. That could be any person in here tonight and maybe never on them again. That just comes and goes. There's quite a difference between a spirit of prophecy and a prophet. And a spirit of prophecy is to be judged by 2 or 3 and have discernment. When the old prophet stood, Isaiah and Jeremiah, they had thus said the Lord. They're born from the cradle up. Now, here again, you find a weaving back and forth. He talks about gifts in the church. And he said, there's quite a difference between the spirit of prophecy and a prophet. So no matter who had the flame of fire, and Brother Branham did mention that flame of fire above people. I haven't got the quote on it. It was out in Albuquerque, I think. I'm not sure. He says there's a difference. He said, a spirit of prophecy is to be judged. What he's really talking about here is a gift of the Spirit. And people are prophesying, and it must be judged. The only thing this gift is just submitting yourself to him. I don't see anything. He does the saying. And if it's his spirit of prophecy, the prophet always had thus saith the Lord. Now, that blows your mind. Right off the bat, he puts it on himself and Jeremiah and the rest. He takes it right off of you. So then it's not a matter of what you got, it's how much you got. And to what end you got it? Because by every single member of the body of Christ has been baptized by one Spirit. And that goes for Paul. It goes for William Branham. And every born-again believer, everyone in the bride body. The only thing is that I've got, he says, the gift of submitting myself. I don't say anything. He does the same. If it's his spirit of prophecy. Now, does he mean his spirit of prophecy in contradiction to A spirit of prophecy? You figure that out, don't ask me. I'm just telling you. You haven't got straight answers to a lot of things. I don't have straight answers. I know one thing when he said, I believe that as God gave Aaron to Moses to explain his ministry, so he gave you to me to explain me and my ministry. That didn't make any Aaronic priesthood. And I was the first one to say after he said it, maybe I'll cut his throat the same way Aaron cut Moses' throat. And of course they ran around the world saying that. They're so happy to believe I'm cutting Brother Branham's throat. I'm not saying what Brother Branham said. I'm preaching another message. Like fun I am. Like fun I am. I challenge you to read this Mel. Who is this Melchizedek? Then stand up here and let's take a word by word and go to the Bible. I challenge you. You'll find yourself without Jesus, the pre-existent one. The light that formed. The one in whom I begot my generations and we were in him. And if you weren't in him, kid, you ain't got anything. You're a serpent seed from hell. I'm tough. I'm not afraid to stand before God with my hard language. I'm not condemning anybody. Just toss it out here. You do what you want. God's your judge like he's my judge. When the prophet stood there, thus saith the Lord. The only thing this gift is just submitting yourself. I have nothing to say. He does the same. If it's his spirit of prophecy, the prophet always said, thus saith the Lord. It's always right. No questions of doctrine. Because it'll have to line with the Bible. If it's God. God can't say anything and then go back on and twist it around. See, that's what I'm trying to say on the Alpha and Omega principle. How can you throw what was said in Genesis 1:26-28 and not come up with Eve supposed to have had born the seed Christ? Shows a misunderstanding of what the scriptures are about. That you need a revelator. I wonder. Now he's talking about his son Joseph. I wonder, Mummy Meaty, if you could hold Joseph up just a minute. I want them to see what this boy is already has the spirit of prophecy upon him. Stand up a little bit, Joseph. There he is, all right. He's like his mother, he's bashful. Brother Branham said one day to Joseph, your dad, what do people mean? They say, I'm a prophet. He says, son, all I know is that's exactly what he called you and I dedicated you to him. Now, if you grow up to serve the Lord and he tarries, Lord God tarries, you will be a prophet. It's common knowledge because Billy Paul himself asked the same question. He said, yes, Joseph's a prophet. Depends on what crowd he's with. With the wrong crowd, he'd be a prophet unto man. With the right crowd, he'd be a prophet unto God. You do what you want. It's all on tape. I'll back up every single thing. Of course, they come in and say, I never said it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's wait. I've got patience. I can wait. There's not too much more I want to read here. All right. Now, Father, on every precept of your word, I've accepted it regardless of what I say. I have believed it just the way it's written, for it is no private interpretation, we're told, but just the way it's written. If you're going to judge us by this book, you certainly saw that it came to us in the right kind of shape because we're to be judged by the book. And now, Father, I believe it with all my heart, and beyond even the gift, now watch, beyond even the gift of the spirit of prophecy that you make known. In other words, this is a word prophet, and you're not even dealing with the spirit of prophecy, as is outlined previously by him, but this is thus saith the Lord. That's where you Pentecostals missed it by a million miles. You went after sensations, waiting instead of waiting for the word to be fulfilled. That's right. That's why you organize. That's why you listen to those doctrines, whatever it is. It's always the leaders that gets the people out of the will of God. It was Korah. It was Korah, the uninspired leader, that said, hey, Moses tried to make us think that he's the only holy man. Why, we've got as much holy men here. We've got groups here. Didn't God put the spirit of prophecy upon all of us people? Took it off Moses and put it on them here. So we will just listen to this group. Moses thinks he's something. Well, that's the way Brother Branham's accused, and that's why I'm accused, and that's not the way I want it. Because I make myself nothing whatsoever. I do have the gift of teaching. Brother Branham didn't say it was a genuine gift, but the point is, if it's like his, would certainly make you think it was genuine. See? No, brother, sister. The earmarks are there. But let's not stop there. Let's read in Revelation 3:21. To him that cometh, what I grant to sit with me in my Father's, sit with me in my throne, he has also sat, overcame, sat down with my Father in his throne. Also read Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that, according to Jesus himself, who wrote the Revelation, he is set down with the Father. The Spirit in Paul, which Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, for that's the Spirit of prophecy. Now what's he doing? He's telling you that overall, in this spirit of prophecy, is an absolute continuity with the Word of God as it came forth from God by the prophets, thus saith the Lord, and if you have it, you will really abide by that Word. You'll make that Word everything. You'll listen to it. Now if you're just anointed, you can have a spirit come upon you which is of God. Yep. But it's certainly not going to testify to the truth. It's going to take you from the truth. Not that that spirit's not of God. But the person himself will use the truth that lies in the Spirit of God. Prophecy or whatever. Healings, miracles, whatever. And turn it to himself and say, look, we've got these great miracles. Where's William Branham? Didn't William Branham even talk about himself when he mentioned the Apostle Paul and said, they said, hey, what's with this guy, Apostle Paul? Why, one time, Paul, you had thus saith the Lord. One time you could get thus saith the Lord in a hurry. One time you knew discernment. You had all these things at your fingertips. Heal the sick, raise the dead, everything else. Now you got carting along a doctor with you. What about her? You know something? Let me tell you something. The more you get to this word, the more you're going to lose your sensations, your feelings. The more you're going to come to one thing is this, that any feeling you have isn't worth a plug nickel, because it's going to be a bad feeling. It's going to be an achy feeling in your body. There's going to be pressure. And you're going to find your feelings ain't worth a plug nickel. And the more you get to this word, the less there's going to be gifts around you too. And the more you want gifts, the more it proves you don't want the word. You want Shelley with his hot cross buns. A perverter. Where women leave their husbands to go to hear him. Want me to name names? Don't push me. Who tries to discern. Discerner's phony is a $3 bill because there aren't any left. That was the prophet who did it. The Branhamite sticking around just can't wait to jump back on the bandwagon to hell because they never ever got off of it. I can show you more liars without a conscience in this message, so-called, any place I've been in my life. Look you right in the eye and lie. Cheat, steal, do every rotten thing in the book. Stand right there, bless God. Won't you point your finger at me? I'm a holy anointed one of God. My Bible said to Satan, thou art the anointed cherub that covered. You better know your Bible a little bit better than that if we're going to lock horns. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Spirit in Paul, which is the Spirit of Christ. For that is the spirit of prophecy. Now notice whereby the word comes. Huh? One place he makes it bigger. This place he said it ain't the same thing. Another he said everybody's in the prophet class. The minute you use the word of the prophet, what's he saying? Well, I told you a while ago, it's the same what Jesus said. He said, though I have the faith of a mustard seed to move a mountain, And Paul said, though I have all faith to move a mountain. Therefore, teeny faith and big faith is no different. Just use it. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you seek to live a good, godly Christian life. If you got a calling, you won't get away from it. Don't worry. I can prove that by my own experience, which doesn't mean a thing in the light of the Word of God, but it's still the truth there, you know. You won't get away. And he won't get away from you. The question then arose, the next question arose, Brother Vail, could people have understood the presence without you? Merciful God, how many times have I said on tape, Jack Palmer understood it. He didn't go anywhere with it to my knowledge. Carpenter preached it. I've got Beeler's own writing where he said it. I mean, McHugh's. Doug McHugh's. I've never said that I discovered the doctrine of the presence. What I told you, I discovered by going to the Greek to understand the difference between the appearing and the coming. And I ended up understanding that he, Elohim, was present in a way I'd never understood it before. Then the next thing came up. If he's present, what role is he in? It was the judge. What is he here for? What is he doing? I must have preached 24 to 48 sermons on Ephesians alone, the first chapter, or whatever. I'm not the first one that preached it. I'm not the first one that said it. Brother Branham was the first one. We all knew that he came down. He told us it was Elohim. But I walked by it almost as blindly and foolishly as those who said, he's here, so what? Oh, Ducky, how cunning and how cute. He's here, so what? Who is here? What is he doing? If he is here, what are the only two things he can do? Well, come on, tell me. I've been preaching my God for years to you people. Huh? How many hands has he got? All right. Cursing and blessing and so on. Does he have to curse at the exact time he blesses? In the sense of fulfilling? The answer is no. So therefore we need to send to these mighty angels to take judgment. He judged the bride and said, I'm setting your sign. I'm going to take you with me. And Brother Branham preached sermon after sermon how the world's getting ready to be nothing but atomic bomb fire. When's it going to come? When the bride's gone. The man drove all the way from Tucson. Brother Daly said, I came to ask myself, is it true that you believe the resurrection's over? I said, Bud, you're looking at me, aren't you? How can it be over? Would I be in this shape? That's about 10 years ago, 8 years ago. You ought to see my x-rays now. Lee and I won't fight about them, will we, Brother Miller? We won't fight who's got the worst x-rays, but... Yeah. Anybody can have the pain that goes with it, everything else. But anyway, I'm sorry to take this time, but I'm going off the scene. I may not preach it shortly. I may be off the scene entirely. And I want it on record. I have never put myself above anybody. I am not any type of a part of a priesthood. I am not anything special that God ordained. As far as I know, outside Brother Branham indicated those things to me. And I'm not lying to you. And I'm not taking advantage. And you know that, positively. I have not told you lies. I have not taken your money. I have not said bad things to you. I've not hurt you. In fact, Brother Branham said, Lee, you're like me. You can live any place you want to live because he said you're a teacher. I don't have to live here. I can go any place at all. Do I intend to? Sure. Want to die and get out of here. I can't do too much about it. But anyway, I hope I've answered every single question for every single person. What Brother Branham did was a ministry just like Samuel's. He indicated, and it was not strange that he should talk to me and some of the brethren and tell them those things that are pertinent to them concerning God and themselves and the ministry. And I've not lied to you. You know that. I'm not trying to be anybody. But I want the record cleared so that nobody can run around and say anything else. Now, tapes have been preached about this. Questions have arisen. I've said it. No, I don't understand everything Brother Branham said about the spirit of prophecy, because he put one here, he put one there. What does it mean over here? Well, I can tell you one thing. I'm not that person, any way, shape, and form. But I believe whatever was there was the highest order there could ever be in the ministry of the Spirit of the living God, bringing forth the testimony unto Jesus the Christ. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the time we had this evening. Although, Lord, it's the kind of time I don't like to spend. I don't like to take any time. It's embarrassing, and to me it's fruitless. But if it settles anybody's mind and clears the record where at least they're going to stop talking and yammering about certain things, and even now, Lord, I suppose there's going to be more fuel added to their fire. But whatever it is, Lord, I've just done what I could do, and you can bless it or not, Father. I know that. I mean, it's entirely up to you. I hope it does some people some good to finally get things off their minds and off their hearts, and at least get me off their shoulders or anything else, Lord. Get them off my shoulders, might be more like it. So that we can go on doing the business of the Lord as Christians together, not having any power or authority over anybody, because already the Word has given us that, absolutely vindicated by God Himself, who brought it to pass and is bringing it to pass, and that's the only thing that matters. So therefore, unto you we ascribe the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now what we're going to do is just read quickly out of 1 Corinthians 13. We have the table of the Lord. And I'm terribly tired. I was before I came, but not so tired as I know tonight. I go home, and if I sleep, I'll be tremendously happy. If I get up with enough energy, I'll be deliriously happy. And if I don't have too much pain, I'll be a little happier on top of that. I want you to feel sorry for me. The thing is, I'm just letting you know, hey, look, I've worn out. I'm sorry. If you now you've got some spare parts and want to give them to me, we can arrange it fine. But let's face it, I feel too many people are that backbone now, so I don't want anybody's backbone. Not throwing off on anybody, it's just the truth. So I want your backbone, and it looks like I've lost mine. All right, the 11th chapter where Paul is speaking, and of course he's telling them what we know to be the truth, that he got from God what he gave them. And nobody told him, God himself told him. Now, that's why he was so long in the Arabian desert. And then, you know, God gave his prophet perfect recall. Not only give him perfect recall, you get a prophet like William Branham. And I suppose, I'm sure that Moses and Paul went through the same thing Daniel went through. They say, hold it, let me tell you your dream. Because you ain't telling it right. When you see a prophet do that, it does something to you. He said, hold it, don't tell me, I'm going to tell you. Amen. You hear something? Daniel did it one time. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Woo, look at Daniel. I'm not running Daniel down, but don't you understand Brother Branham literally did it maybe dozens of times? Then what kind of a prophet did we have at the end time? The one man with the pillar of fire who can reveal the Word of God. My, that should do something for us. Walking in the light as he is the light, having fellowship with the blood cleansing. How are you going to get the blood to cleanse outside the Word? Claim the blood and defy the Word of God. The Bible says you died under witnesses under the law. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Huh? Huh? Where was the blood when they lied to the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Uh-huh. They'd have been full of the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't have tried lying to the Holy Ghost. You better believe it. And when you're under the blood, remember, the Spirit witnesses to the blood. You ever get blood cleansed, brother, sister? The Holy Ghost got to come in. We say, well, Brother Dale, what about that scripture says, you know, he got himself all cleaned up and seven worse devils come in? That's for you, not me. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. When the blood cleaned me, that was the time for the Holy Ghost to come in. Now, don't think those thoughts, brother, sister. Don't try to make the Word of God fight the Word of God. Don't try to get the prophet all messed up. Believe me, William Branham was not messed up. He went right to his death knowing he would die. He didn't mistake the vision of the hole in the throat was a tracheotomy, not a bullet. I think before he got injured, he knew that would happen. If you talked to me the way my wife did, you'd understand something. Okay, he said, the Lord told him plain, outright, plump and plain. He said, the night I was betrayed, I took this bread and I broke it. I gave thanks. And I said, take ye, this is my body. Broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. And remember that everybody wants to remember just that one night. What do you want to remember just that one night? What good would that one night be without what went ahead of it? Brother Branham said, when I'm gone, eat a very rare steak and think kindly of me. Why? His ministry, his life. Who he was, what he did. Proving the Father was with him, that he was of God. Remember. Now, we're not going to go back 2,000 years. We're going to go back when Brother Branham was here in Luke 17 and 30, the days of the Son of Man. When the Holy Ghost, called by Brother Branham, Son of God, from Romans 1, I think verse 4, then lets you know that that same ministry of Elohim in Jesus the Son is the same ministry here because it was in a prophet there. It's a prophet now. God doesn't change. So the point is, what Jesus are you looking at tonight? What do you remember? You got to remember the one that was back there 2,000 years ago. You better know all about him. You better know what he's doing now. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. Because some people think he's decomposed. Some people think he's in a coma. Some people are sure we're preaching God the Son. A friend of mine in Canada was just accosted by a guy that ought to know better. He said, you believe like Lee there, you're preaching two gods. He said, hold it right there. He said, you're too confrontational. He said, I've got 70 pages of quotes right now. For Brother Branham, proving you're wrong. There's a picture on the wall. No, brother, there, that is not a picture. That is a composite of pigments, of various types of shadows. But it isn't a picture. Why am I doing this? Because I can't stand people trying to say I'm talking about God the Son. And they themselves claim to have a gene of God, the Holy Ghost inside as their soul. And can't understand where their stupid teaching takes them. It'll take them to God poured everything in Christ. Now there's nothing but God. God's gone. Here he is, son. Now Christ pours all in the church. Now there's no Jesus. Now we got church. Elohim of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Elohim's pure, brother. Elohim's pure. I'm doing Elohim of God. Hey, read my mind. Norm, you're in Pentecost all these years. Claim the Holy Ghost. Read my mind. Should be able to Elohim of God. You're not Elohim of God. You got a soul from God. And it blanked out. And you're learning now. Amen. Merciful God. Yeah, that's what they told John McCrae, Pete, after Fair did it. You know the guy. If he put his mouth out of gear and his ears into gear, something might happen. Always confrontation. Always got the answers. Don't take the cup tonight, brother, sister, if you're sitting on the fence. And you got an idea. We're talking about God the Son. And you don't even know that you're strictly Jesus only. I want some answers from you. I'm not afraid to drink tonight. I'd be afraid on my own grounds of righteousness because I'm a louse-bound heathen. But not on this word, brother, sister. Near who is shape and form. No vindicated prophet. That's what he said. I can take it right back to the scripture and show you word by word. Spirit of prophecy? What does it matter? Yeah, I got it. And the exact degree I need to teach. Amen. The exact degree I need to do what I had to do in my lifetime. Just the same as you have. So it'll ever be. Eat. Drink. Drink. The new wine. Don't put it in old bottles. It'll destroy you. You know something, brother, sister? If you're trying to take this message and you're one of the old bottles, you're going to die. You're going to die. But the new wine won't. It'll go on. And you're just an old garment of organization and you want a new patch? I got news for you. Your garment's going to explode. There'll be nothing left but the patch. Yeah. Yeah. Like when those false prophets used the censers illegally and a false fire came. God said, destroy them all, but keep the censers. Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. Destroy the man, but never the word. Oh, no. That's why David could have been after God's own heart. Well, thank God we are too. Let's rise at this time. We're not ignorant, brother, sister. Heavenly Father, we're going to come forward this time to partake of the emblems, and we're going to wash feet. We're going to be happy in the Lord. And, Lord, we're going to just praise your wonderful name that we can do these things that are so simple and yet so marvelous that we can do them. And because you said to do them, and we know that there's great gain in doing the will of the Lord, because even a glass of cold water is going to get a benefit, a little letter written, a little card sent, a little flower, some little thought here, some little way thing there, Lord, it not loses your word. Neither then will obedience to your word tonight, and we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for these emblems. We want you to sanctify them by the Holy Spirit, by the word of Almighty God. May they truly do us good. May people be healed tonight, Lord, by partaking. I even think of myself, Lord, getting some good benefits of strength and all, but only to do your will, Lord, further and to live long enough to see this word go and grow, Lord, more and more. But if I'm any kind of a sore thumb to the word, then, Lord, I'd just sooner get out of here now and not be a hindrance. As Brother Branham said, we don't want to hinder and get in anybody's way. So we give you our praise tonight from our hearts. We give you our hearts, Lord, and we hope unreservedly take control of the rest of this meeting as you have previously by the grace of God. And may, Lord, every benefit that is ours accrue to us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you brethren, come forward.